You are listening to The Pulse, Rod Murray's e-learning tech podcast, formerly Rod's Pulse Podcast, number 92. You were there for me,
always there for me. Hi, this is Rod Murray, glad to be back. That's a clip from the song Midnight by singer-songwriter Adrina Thorpe. I found her on Music Alley. That's that service I use for podcasters. You can buy her album, which was called Half Light and Shadows, or individual MP3 tracks from Amazon. So don't forget to stay tuned at the end of my podcast for the full song. This podcast is sponsored by Inside Higher Ed, the online source for news, opinion, and jobs for all of higher education. As always, I post the links to all the resources we discuss on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. Well, let's move on to my main topic today, Blackboard, and part two of my interview with Ray Henderson, president of Blackboard Learn. In the interest of full disclosure, U Sciences recently committed to moving to Blackboard 9.1, and we are now in the process of installation and implementation. Last month, in part one of the interview, we discussed key differences for faculty between Angel and Blackboard, Blackboard's future direction, including the purchase of iStrategy. During this session, you'll hear more on Blackboard's future directions, including ePortfolios, education standards and the Open Database Initiative, and competition from open source products. I do have to apologize in advance for some of the poor audio. I tried to remove some of this periodic hum that was apparently coming from the air handling system in Ray's office. So without further ado, here is part two. What can you tell us about the future direction with ePortfolios? And maybe you could just give a brief rundown of what you currently offer about student ePortfolios. Sure.
There's been a lot of thinking at Blackboard about this area over the years, and there have been a number of different attempts. Different parts of the company have tried. So I want to say the WebCT company had created a student portfolio product. Angel had a student ePortfolio product. And Blackboard had taken a slightly different approach and actually had two products. There's a portfolio element in the outcomes product for assembling evidence in support of accreditation from student work. There's also in the content system, the content management module for Blackboard Learn, there is a set of services that can be used there for saving work that span courses. So currently, by dint of the combinations of companies that we have, there's a number of different ePortfolio products, and we have said to the world that they can expect at BB World this summer that we will have some clarifying statement about our direction there. The other thing, we're always keen to look at the emergence of public standards for education. And the ePortfolio area is one that there is a public standard that, from the IMS about ePortfolio exports and imports, but it is not a particularly robust one. That's the reality of dealing with public standards. Some are well developed and some are not. But this is an area where we're keen to try to help move the industry along. And so one of the things about the approach in the last 2 years that we've gotten a lot of positive feedback around is commitment we're showing to education standards and how we are helping move those standards along in the industry. We're identifying this as an area that the industry could use some help. Whatever strategy we pursue going forward, how we can help move the ePortfolio import-export area along.
A while back, you mentioned about Blackboard and openness. I wonder if you could expand on that a little bit and how that relates to your relationship with open source products. And, you know, I guess a lot of folks want to know how you can compete with a free open source product out there.
Fascinating question. I really think that the open source, I'll call it a movement in software development, particularly in education, I think it's been a very positive force for the industry. It's helped the industry focus on some important questions. And in the case of learning management systems, there's been a couple of forces that I've really seen about why open source has captured imagination from clients, I really look at it in two different ways. And one of those is about openness with respect to user data. And the second is about openness with respect to source code. And so if we roll back the clock a few years, it would have been true. There were statements made about Blackboard as an example, but they could have been made about any commercial LMS. And the statements were that I don't have a way to get my data out of the system, and yet it is my data. And I think that's very fair criticism of the category. So we responded to that at Blackboard, and we did so at Angel, and we brought that strategy to Blackboard and said, all right, we get that, and it seems quite fair. It is your data, after all. And so we redefined our relationship to user data and said, the public statement that I made about it at Blackboard World this past year as we were rolling out a new strategy was that we believe that your user data, whether that's student performance data, whether that's student behavior data, or the content of your course, that data is your own. And that our obligation is to protect it, but also to make it easy for you to get at and to pull from our system, whether that's to preserve the information or to analyze the information. And so along with that, we announced a series of openness initiatives, but the most important one there was the Open Database Initiative. And in that, we released our database schema. We offered training at our DevCon Developers Conference at BB World on how to access data and to do so safely, and also how to use this openness as a way to debug other development that you might be doing to extend the Blackboard system through our Blackboard Building Blocks APIs. And so with respect to that issue around data, we've taken the view that this is an area that we should be able to be extremely competitive, even with the open source systems, and that the competition there is no longer about can you get the data out, because that's not true of both of the systems. It's about how well do we support you in understanding what to do with it and how to do it well. And I think that's interesting. Now, with respect to a source code, well, again, there's a difference in perspectives, and I think it boils down to risks and what mission institutions want to serve. Now, in some cases, there are institutions that say that they have a mission to do software development and that they want to contribute software development to the education community as part of who they are, and that they feel that that's something that they should fund as part of their mission as an academic institution. And for schools that are really focused on that, then open source is going to be a highly attractive way because they are really choosing to enter the software development world. Now, at other institutions, and I think by far the majority of them, they don't have that shared sense of mission. They're more pragmatic about, hey, there are times when the software that you have doesn't perform some function that we need, or we would like to extend the software platform. And when that's the case, they're typically looking to extend the platform in ways that have the least risk to their institution in terms of future accountability for software quality or working through version changes and that sort of thing. And so we've really focused on that second set, which is by far the majority of the clients we currently have and that we see in the market. And so there we really try to define a rich set of APIs to offer a lot of energy in supporting a development community and in looking and re-examining policies that we have that are in any way constraints on the sharing of that work between the academic institutions that want to take it up. And so we've made that a real focus in our business, and we've been responding as a company much better to that need that's expressed in the marketplace, and which was brought really into better relief by the appearance of open source. So again, I think it's been a positive influence on the commercial part of this industry, and it's definitely been something that we've taken inspiration from it. Now, as far as competing with it as a business, well, I just sort of described some of the things that it's influenced at Blackboard in our behavior. Competing with open source as a business, there's a lot of it depends sorts of statements that I'd have to put in front of any of these. But I would say in general, the areas when we are competing with an open source initiative, in general, that will come down to questions about costs. And it is true that open source will typically not have a license fee. But I would say, I think the market is maturing in its outlook on the expense side, that there's a greater degree of awareness of the total set of expenses that an institution faces with or without a license fee, and that they understand that while there are expenses that are hidden from them, like, I'll say, version alignment, that they are coming to understand as more players in the industry are rolling out open source solutions at broader scale, I think there's better awareness of what those costs are that have been hidden to them. So an interesting example, I'll say some of those who rely on a vendor to provide an open source solution like Moodle. You know, one of the things you'll notice about the strategies of companies like that in the last 3 months, they are announcing strategies that extend Moodle by offering a number of other modules. So the usual categories are custom software enhancements for your institution, a mobile product, a collaboration product, a content management product, and even some analytics products and specialized reporting. And so what you can see is a general trend to follow the comprehensiveness that one finds at Blackboard by supplementing open source technologies with a number of other open source modules, and also consulting services to do bespoke development. I'm sure that there are going to be places that are well satisfied with that, but I'm also sure that one of the things that we're beginning to see in clients that have gone that direction is that they're realizing what the risk category looks like there. While at Blackboard, we have certainly had our stumbles in aligning our own products and making sure that each time we version our software, that we make sure that it works very well with the other modules that we have out in the world, that the many hundreds of building blocks that are created by commercial players. You know, we have an advantage of being proprietary about that and being able to in some ways dictate terms between our own development teams and to align that development activity around end user expectations and quality. We have the significant investments that are required to actually test those things ahead of time. And while imperfect, we have the teams that are ready when we do find a problem to work on solving them. And I think what's happening in the open source community as the number of those modules that needs to be strung together to provide a more comprehensive solution, as that gets wider and wider, the level of difficulty that they face in testing the various permutations and combinations of those technologies also becomes significantly harder. And I just say that's a category where, as the folks that are examining that this year versus, say, 2 years ago, I think they're more wizened to the difficulties and to the risks there. In some ways, I think on the risk side, if we execute very well as a commercial entity, then I think the risk equation for the CIO or the director of distance learning or whomever is making a decision like that, it comes off fairly cleanly as a risk trade-off. And it's one of, do I want to accept a vendor risk of performance, but with accountability that they really owe me performance? Or do I want to accept a personnel risk where I can make these things happen, but it requires really brilliant people and it requires more of a commitment to being like a software developer? And I think those things are becoming clearer. And again, for the benefit of the business, the majority of our clients are clearly voting with their feet, you know, to remain with the type of model that we support. And at the same time, to make clear that there's performance that they expect from us and accountability that they expect from us, given what their alternative is. And so, again, I think healthy influence on the industry.
I have two things to say about that. One is that through personal communication, a colleague of mine at a large state university who went the open source route claims that it really wasn't any cheaper than Blackboard. And the other thing that occurs to me, it seems analogous to the situation between the two major operating system platforms, the Apple Macintosh and the Windows arena, where you have multiple vendors cobbling together applications that may or may not work on various, you know, pieces of hardware made by different companies, as opposed to a much more controlled yet proprietary system in the guise of Apple. You pay a little bit of a premium, but you do get a lot of value. In that sense, I compare Blackboard to Apple.
Yeah, well, I think it's certainly a flattering comparison. And I think you also make a point that I make about that very well, which is that is the opportunity we have, is to use that proprietary element to our advantage. But it requires that we make sure that we get the things that I mentioned in my fundamentals list earlier. We have absolutely got to nail those. And at the same time, you know, whereas Apple, as a product developer, there's very little about them that's open in that sense. So we can try to hew to the example that they set in terms of using proprietary advantage to deliver quality, but our variation on the theme is to actually approach the relationship with our user community with a much greater sense of openness. And I think if we can get that blend right, then there are very, very blue skies ahead for Blackboard. So that's our aspirational comment for today.
I hope you enjoyed the interview and learned a bit more about the future of Blackboard and why you might choose them over an open source competitor. Time will tell. I hope to report on our experience with Blackboard 9.1 in a future episode. Again, see the links on my show notes at www.rodspulsepodcast.com. And please stay tuned for Midnight by Adrena Thorpe. Until next time, have a great week.
Down on my crumpled little frame, there's nothing left to cling to. Midnight, I'm torn asunder, no glimmer left inside this place. You I'm not afraid to
that's it for today's episode. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to give Rod feedback. You can leave comments on his blog, send email to rod@rodspulsepodcast.com, or leave audio feedback on his comment line at 610-616-2199. The preceding audio commentary is the product of the author, Dr. Rodney Murray, and does not represent the official viewpoint of the University of the Sciences or any other institution or company.